Greg, thank you very much for that. We have got some questions here, so I'm going to read them out, and hopefully you can give us some answers.
All right.
So this is from Peg Parker. Doesn't the historic landings record also show that lobster landings were high in the past at the same time groundfish landings were higher?
Well, they weren't as nearly as high as they are now. But more to the point, historically, before groundfish harvesting really started in earnest, even in pre-colonial days, yes, we have reports of large, conspicuous lobsters that the colonists saw, but they were not being harvested intensively, and my sense is that they were lading as large and abundant lobsters up in the less vulnerable size classes over many, many decades of recruitment unhindered by harvesting. So it was possible to achieve large abundance once lobsters escaped that gauntlet of predators.
Thank you, Rick. I've got a few questions here from Joe Salisbury. For the settlement index, how is the density defined?
It's actually a direct estimate of numbers of lobsters per square meter within a well-defined cobble boulder habitat. We use a standardized half-square meter quadrat. Divers use the suction sampler device to vacuum everything up inside that quadrat, and we return to fixed sites. And there's some 100 sites in the overall survey from Rhode Island into Atlantic Canada.
Thank you. Next one from Joe is, it's interesting that the pH is so often higher at the bottom at several locations. Is it benthic productivity?
Well, Joe, you're probably more the expert than I am at this one, but my sense has been that it's likely a result of benthic respiration, and the CO2 that's produced as a result of that.
Thank you, Rick. And Joe also says that he asked me to tell you that he stole the OA and Shell slide from Andrew Barton.
Okay, thank you.
So I think that's kind of in trying to disclose everything.
Yeah.
Libby Jewett asks, is there any work on effects of ocean acidification on lobster happening anywhere right now, or any proposals pending with NSF?
Well, as a matter of fact, first of all, I know that Tim Bowden at the University of Maine has had a student working on the effect on American lobster larvae. I haven't seen recent reports from him, so I don't know where that work stands. I have teamed up myself with David Fields at the University at Bigelow Laboratory. David is a zooplankton ecologist, works with copepods, has NSF support for OA effects on copepods, and I've teamed up with him and Spencer Greenwood, who's a functional genomics expert, does qPCR with the American lobster, so it has especially strong expertise with the American lobster genome and developmental shifts in gene regulation. So the three of us have teamed up to submit to NSF some iOS program for looking at the interaction of OA and temperature on gene expression and phenotypic expression in lobster larvae. And that's a pre-proposal right now.
Thank you, Rick. Question here from Esperanza. Knowing the importance of the fishery and the vulnerabilities to ocean acidification in the New England region, is there any discussion or plans amongst lobster researchers about conducting the much-needed research on OA for lobsters? So that may be partly answered before, but anything else to add?
Well, yeah, I guess I partly answered that question about the NSF proposal we've submitted. Well, I think Libby and Dwight know that I've been making inquiries about how we might out how about